Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We have been speaking about the culture of the kingdom of God. A culture is just talking about a way of life of people who are in the kingdom of God. When you enter the kingdom of God or you become born again, you come from an old place to the kingdom. So you now have to learn the way of life of people in the kingdom. Because you can be somewhere, you can be in a nation, Africa, and not live like somebody who belongs to the nation. You see, you can go to live in England and do your things like a Ghanaian. You know, dress like a Ghanaian, eat like a Ghanaian. You know, have your own kind of English. Ghana, we have our own kind of English. Somebody was jokingly saying that once you are patronizing made in Ghana products, we should include the English. Everything made in Ghana. But that is it. You can be in a different country, but not live like somebody who lives in that country. You can live like somebody else, you know, in that country. That is the same way with us believers. When we become born again, there is an old way of life. And then there is a new life that we have to live. The new life is called the kingdom life. The kingdom life is the life that Jesus Christ came to live on this earth. And then he taught on this earth. Hallelujah. So some of the things that we're going to learn, in fact, the things we're going to learn, they are the things that Jesus Christ lived out, how he lived and how he taught. Last week, we started looking at the fact that Jesus was poor in spirit. Because of that, he depended solely upon God. Depended completely upon God. Although he was the word of God, yet he would always wait for God's word. You know, and Jesus will pray all the time. As if he doesn't have faith. He has faith, but he has to pray all the time. You know. And if Jesus Christ depended that way upon God, so should we. He was just trying to show us how to live a certain life. We call it the kingdom life. Hallelujah. Now, today we want to look at the second way of life for people who belong to the kingdom of God. It is having a right response to sin. That's what we are looking at. Having a right response to sin. Okay? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourning is talking about a state of your heart that is sorry at the presence of sin, whether it is in you or in society. Blessed are those who mourn, who have a heart condition that makes them become sorry at the presence of sin, whether the sin is in their life or in society. Hallelujah. So that is what we are looking at. By that, Jesus Christ was teaching us something about how we should respond to sin. Mourning is a response to sin. Hallelujah. Now, you can have a religious response to sin and a kingdom response to sin. Maybe I should begin it this way, that Jesus Christ came to bring us the kingdom of God. He carried the kingdom upon his shoulders and he brought it back to mankind. Okay? He brought us God's way of life. He brought us the realm of heaven back on this earth. And he did that by taking away the obstacle to the kingdom arrangements. That obstacle to the kingdom of God is called sin. You know that in the beginning, God put us in a kingdom system where he was our king. And we had a kingdom arrangement as mankind before sin. But what disturbed the kingdom arrangement was sin. So Jesus Christ came that he would take away the obstacle. He would take away the interruption to God's kingdom arrangement. Because sin came to interrupt the whole system. So he came to take away that. Because once he takes away sin, then God's kingdom arrangement will be realized on this earth. Hallelujah. It means that if you belong to the country of God as a believer, then your response to sin is very important. Your response to sin. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. Whether you have a right response to sin or a wrong response to sin is key as far as you experiencing the rule of God in your life is concerned. You experiencing heaven on earth is concerned. It's the way you relate with sin. Hallelujah. That is why right after talking to us about the fact that we should be hopelessly dependent upon God, when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he went on to say, blessed are those who mourn. In other words, right after being dependent upon God, being a parasite on God as humans, giving us that state of heart, he tells us that the next thing you have to watch is your response to sin. And I said that you can have a right response to sin or a good response to sin. There are two. You can have a kingdom way of responding to sin or a religious way of responding to sin. Hallelujah. You know, when man sins, Adam and Eve, they responded in a certain way to sin. But God didn't like that response. How did they respond? If you read the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 7, let's read it. It tells us that our first parents, they sowed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, they saw sin in their lives. And so they did something good about it. The good thing was that they took fig leaves and sewed aprons and covered the thing as if sin is not there. The sin has not taken place. Hallelujah. But you see, when God came around, he did not like it. He didn't like the way that they had done it. Their own way of responding to sin. He didn't like it. And so he killed an animal, so to speak, and he clothed them with animal skin. Now that one is God's response to sin. In other words, presently, when you see sin in your life, there are two things you can do. The first one is that you can have a human way of responding to sin, which is good. I told you in the introduction last week that the religious way, symbolized by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is good. But there is evil behind it. In other words, it is half-half. It is better than not responding to sin at all. But it still does not please God. So, the animal skin is talking about the right response to sin. And when God clothed them that way, he was okay. Hallelujah. And so there is a good way of responding to sin, which many people do. Maybe you do it as you are even listening to me. But there is a right way of responding to sin in the kingdom arrangement of God. Hallelujah. Let me also say that sin, when it came on earth, it did a whole lot of things, you know, but the Bible tells us that Jesus' sacrifice, you know, the killing of the animal skin and all that, is talking about responding to sin with Jesus' sacrifice, with blood. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he shed his blood, it resounded, not just on earth, but also in heaven. It changed a whole lot of things. Listen carefully. When he shed his blood on the cross, it changed things on earth and things in heaven. And God expects that this change will be reflected in the life of the people who believe in Jesus. What change took place in heaven? For example, I'll tell you that in heaven and also on earth, even angels were redeemed from a certain role that they were playing, and that role was not necessary anymore just because of Jesus' death on the cross. For example, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that God sent cherubs who went to guide the way to the tree of life. You remember that? And they were holding a sword, a flaming sword that turned every way. So this was the tree of life, if it's a fan. There were angels standing and holding swords, a flaming sword, to prevent mankind from using the path that leads to the tree of life. That was when man sinned. Before man sinned, the angels, that was not their role. That was not what they were doing. They were doing something else. It was because they sinned that God brought them down. Now come, I'll give you another responsibility. Come and guide the way to the tree of life. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took away sin. And so, what the angels were, in quotes, forced to do, or what they had to do, had to change again. Hallelujah. They were blocking the way to the tree of life, and God had to take them away from that. In fact, he had to redeem them or buy them from a certain function that they were doing because of the presence of sin. Now that Jesus Christ has died, God wants, you see, this spiritual change of work that angels are doing, he wants that the same change is reflected in those who live in his country. Otherwise, what is happening is that then they are not recognizing that blood has been shed, that an animal's skin has been used to clothe us, that Jesus Christ has come and taken away sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 or so, that now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to take away sin. Appeared, past tense, 2,000 years ago on the cross, to take away not some sins and leave some others. He says that once he took away sin completely. And to those who wait for his coming, he will appear. And the Greek word says that without sin. In other words, he is going to appear without having to deal with any sin at all. His second coming has nothing absolutely to do with sin. Whether to make men live righteously more or what, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing. Because what he did on the cross was a complete work, it was a comprehensive work, and he did it once and for all. And so, our challenge as people who claim that we belong to the kingdom of God, I'm talking about born-again believers, is for us to let the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, let it change your role. Let it change your function. Let it change how you were handling things, how you were dealing with sin, just as it changed the roles of the angels who were guiding the place. Now they didn't have to guide anymore. In fact, God even went to an extent of tearing the veil that separates between his presence and the holy place. He tore it from the top to the bottom, opened the place that the way to life is now open. No more hindrance, no more angels. The roles of the angels, they've been bought back by the blood from what they had to do because of sin. Hallelujah. Now, what it means, I said our challenge is that we must also update. Can we all say update? Good. We must update our response to sin, that it doesn't become the old one before Jesus Christ shed his blood, but it becomes elevated. So, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ took the same scripture, or took the word of God, and elevated them to a higher dimension. Because the kingdom life is a high life, is a heavenly life. In heavenly places is in high places. The high calling of the believer is to the kingdom life. I've taught you that here. Is to live like a citizen of the kingdom of God, heavenly kingdom, in this earth realm, right now. That is our high calling, to live like heavenly beings. And really, that is what we are. Praise the Lord. Amen? So, what I'm going to do subsequently, I'm going to take, just like Jesus did, some understandings that we had. I call them religious understanding. They are good. If we start it, you understand it. That they are good. They are a good response to sin. But they are not a right response to sin. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take them and elevate them. Lead them to conditions of the heart. That is what Jesus did. He took a sin like murder. He said, you have heard that it is said, you shall not murder. But I say unto you, that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. You see what Jesus did? He took the same word of God, and then he elevated the word of God. He lifted it up from a physical act of murdering with knife to a condition of the heart.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
When you hit somebody, he says that you have committed murder already. He took a sin like adultery and he elevated it to a higher version of it, to a condition of the heart, where he says that, look, adultery is not just physically knowing a woman sexually, but if even you look upon a woman lustfully to desire her, you have committed adultery already in your heart. Jesus is teaching the way of life, the culture of people who belong to the kingdom. And that is what we are going to do. We are going to look at some examples of people who mourned, who had a response to sin. We are going to examine it and elevate it to what Jesus Christ really means. Hallelujah. Or to the kind of mourning that I call kingdom response to sin, which is as a result of Jesus's dying on the cross. So the first thing I want you to know about one of the old ways, one of the old responses to sin, old ways of mourning, is shown by Cain. We have already looked at Adam, his response to sin, clothing himself with fig leaves, and God said, I don't like it, and he gave him. We are now looking at Cain, who is a child of Adam. Now, when Cain sinned by killing his brother Abel, what happened was that God met him, asked him, where is your brother Abel? You know the story from Sunday school. Said, am I my brother's keeper? God said, the blood of your brother is crying out to me, and things like that. And what is it that you have done? And God pronounced a certain punishment upon Cain. He said that he was going to roam around and things like that. But Cain said to God, Genesis, we are in Genesis chapter 4, that my punishment is too much for me. Verse 13. And Cain, alright, verse 12. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, please, those who are at the back, come forward. I'm straining too much. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So you see what happens. Cain says to God that my punishment is too much for me. All right? And God says that, look, I'm going to do something about this punishment. He set a mark on his forehead, or on Cain, and then he says that nobody is going to kill you. You know? And he was going to roam the air. He was going to be a fugitive and a vagabond on the air. Now, the kind of response to the sin of murder that Cain showed is not a kingdom response to sin. It is a religious way of responding to sin. It is not a right way of responding to sin. What is wrong with Cain's way? What is wrong with Cain's way is that Cain did not regret killing his only brother. Can you imagine? There were only two, so to speak, on the earth. And the place was too small for them to live there. It's strange. Hey! Have we learned some lessons? Only two of you named in the whole earth. And the place is too small that one must be killed. Cain killed his brother. Abel. And he didn't regret it. Do you know what he regretted? He rather regretted the punishment for the sin. So what he told God was that my punishment is too much for me. Look, you have driven me from the face of the earth. I'm going to be a vagabond. Anybody who finds me is going to kill me. God says that, look, I'm going to do something about it. Nobody will kill you. It won't be blood for blood. I'm going to show you grace. Is that right? I'm going to show you grace. You know why God showed this grace to him? He wanted him to repent. We'll come to that. But the response of Cain to sin was that he regretted the punishment, not the fact that he had done a wrong thing. And that is the way you can respond to sin. You see, if you see anybody like that who is afraid of the punishment of sin, one of the punishments of sin is what? Death. Was Esau afraid? Was Cain afraid of death? Yes, he was afraid. He said that you've made me roam the earth, and anybody who finds me will kill me. That was the punchline. And so God addressed that issue that nobody will kill you. It won't be blood for blood. I want to show you grace that you shed somebody's blood, but your blood will not be shed. Only you are going to be a fugitive, you're going to roam around the earth. I'm going to describe a certain type of Christian. He is like Cain. You know why he's like Cain? Because he doesn't have a right response to sin. He fears the consequences of the sin, and he doesn't mind. If only he can negotiate the consequences of the sin, he is cool. He has no regret. He has no sorrow. He is not sorry for the sin. It only pains him that he's going to die. Or, in our context, he's going to hell. Or maybe some bad thing will be visited upon him, or whatever thing you can just imagine, you know. People have got religious way of imagining things, you know, because they don't believe in the work that Jesus Christ did fully. Hallelujah. So, the wrong response to sin is not to regret the sin, but to focus on the punishment for the sin and plead that the punishment is brought down. If the punishment comes down, as for the sin, you don't mind. The believer, he doesn't mind. Provided it won't lead to death. Provided it won't take whatever gifts God has given him from him. Provided it will not take his ministry or his honor from him. He is okay, but the sin that displeases God, he doesn't mind. Such a person has got a religious response to sin. Jesus says that you are blessed if you have a kingdom way of responding to sin. Hallelujah. So Cain was concerned about the consequence of the wrongdoing. And you can be a believer, you can be in the kingdom of God, and focus on the result of your wrongdoing or sin, but not have a regret for the sin. Not have a regret for the sin. Do you know what happens? God is very gracious. I told you that it's a good thing. Isn't it a good thing when somebody comes to Christ because he fears that he is going to hell? Isn't it a good thing? It's a good thing. But it doesn't deliver the kingdom to the person. Let me explain again. You see, presently, we can have sinners all around. And you, believer, you can preach to them that if you don't repent, you go to hell. And he would come and accept Jesus on the basis of the fact that if he doesn't, he'll go to hell. But he doesn't regret the sin. You know, it's good. It's better than not to respond to the gospel at all. Not so. Yes, it's better. Isn't it better for you to come to God with the wrong motive that I don't want to go to hell than for you not to respond at all, be in a congregation, go and still be an unbeliever or something like that? But you see, God wants us to have a right response to sin. Now, what happened was that God showed grace, and he always showed grace to anybody who comes to him with any motive. The motive to negotiate the consequence of the sin, want the marriage to work, he wants to get a job, he wants maybe to travel. You know, when people want to travel, they stop sinning and things like that. Now God will have mercy that when they go, the person will give them the visa pine. You know, people have their own way of so-called repenting. Not a regret for the sin, but because they fear the consequence. If I don't, I won't get visa. If I don't, I won't get a good wife to marry. And some of you sisters must be careful. There are some people out there who just want good people to marry. Just that. And they know that for good people, like... Oh, wow. Like somebody gave counsel to Eddie Murphy's one day. He says, I go to the library, go to church, or somewhere. You want a good woman? Go there. You find them in the night class. Oh, go to the library, go to church. That's where you find a good woman. It was a good counsel anyway. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, it is possible for people in the kingdom of God right now to regret the punishment for sin and not the sin in itself. Now, what happened to Cain was that God showed him grace, but he became a vagabond. Vagabond means that he became unsettled in life. It means that he became uncertain about every issue in life. That is the life of some believers. Because they don't have a right response to sin, they cannot enjoy the kingdom of God. You see them in church, and there are many people, some of you even listening to me. You know? Because you fear a certain life. That if you don't come to church, you have a certain life. That's why you have come. But really, the sin that you must mourn is nothing to you. But you see, God is gracious. He'll receive you and give you grace. But I'm telling you that this kind of repentance, religious repentance, wrong way, good way, but wrong of responding to sin will not deliver the kingdom life to you. There are many believers who are vagabonds. Should I show you how they are? Vagabond believers. They cannot settle in one place. They move from church to church. They cannot settle on one person. They move from person to person. Hallelujah. They are just around. They are roaming the earth. They are roaming the earth. They have a certain grace upon their life. You can see it on their forehead. If God put that mark on the forehead of Cain, the Bible doesn't tell us that it was on the forehead, but they have a certain mark, gracious mark of God upon their life. Yet still, they are fugitives and they are vagabonds. They cannot be settled about anything. Today they go, and tomorrow they come. Do you understand a vagabond or a fugitive? Let me explain. This one is English. A fugitive is somebody who doesn't have a place he belongs. That person goes and comes, busybody, but doesn't have God's kingdom, God's rule in his or her life. That kind of peace that settles you, he doesn't have it. So he's not peaceful about virtually anything. He looks for people to confirm him, for people to confirm maybe things like his choices. You understand that? You understand that? Because he is unsettled. And he is uncertain. He is just a vagabond. He just roams around. Roams around in the Christian life. Roaming. He cannot say that this is the lady God wants me to marry. Because he is double-minded. He is unsettled in all his ways. I don't know what I'm describing you. You know, these are the type of believers. Today they are in church, tomorrow they are not in church. You know where they are? Because they cannot settle in church. You understand that? They cannot be planted. They are not settled in the church. You go and chase them and do follow up. You follow them up and you become a vagabond yourself. You see, because the more they go to this place and you are chasing them, then they go there, you are chasing them there. I will show you how to do it. Because you have to go down on your knees and pray that God, peradventure, will give them a certain kind of repentance. He calls it the kingdom one. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.